Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, June 3rd, and coming up in today's episode, Parliament likely to skip discussion on Operation Sindoor in July session. Active COVID cases surpass 4,000. Multiple states report death. Karnataka High Court warns Kamal Haasan against hurting linguistic sentiments, and despite no ceasefire deal, Russia agrees to return Ukrainian soldiers dead bodies. India's active COVID-19 case count has climbed to 3,961, according to the latest figures from the Union Health Ministry. This includes 203 new infections reported since Sunday. Kerala has the highest number of active cases at 1,435, followed by Maharashtra with 506. Delhi and Kerala have each reported one COVID-related death since Sunday, as have Tamil Nadu and Maharashtra. In Maharashtra, recent fatalities include a 67-year-old man with severe pneumonia and a 21-year-old suffering from diabetic ketoacidosis. Delhi has recorded two deaths, a 60-year-old woman recovering from abdominal surgery and a 22-year-old woman with a history of lung disease. The situation is also being watched in Gujarat with 338 cases, Bengal with 331, Karnataka with 253, and Tamil Nadu with 189, where two patients with existing health issues have died. In northern states, Uttar Pradesh had 157 active cases and Punjab has 6, including one death linked to hepatitis B and respiratory failure. Rajasthan, Puducherry, and Haryana reported smaller numbers. Hospitals across the country are increasing readiness. At Delhi's RML Hospital, Dr. Pawan Kumar, head of COVID-19 unit, said, and I'm quoting, "We are fully prepared with a 9-bed isolation ward. The 4 positive patients we had were discharged yesterday. Currently, we have no active COVID-19 cases." He added, and I'm quoting again, "We've handled this before. We have an oxygen regeneration plant and can increase our isolation capacity if needed. Most cases are mild, but people should consult a doctor if symptoms appear." Union Minister of State for Health and Ayush, Pratap Rao Jadhav, also confirmed that the centre is fully prepared. Quote, "We have reviewed the infrastructure developed during earlier waves, including oxygen plants and ICU beds, and are closely monitoring every state." In Karnataka, the Health and Family Welfare Department confirmed that active cases crossed 300, with 87 people testing positive in the past 24 hours. Bengaluru continues to report the highest number of infections in the state. Of the 311 active cases, 297 are in home isolation, while 14 are hospitalized, including 3 intensive care patients. Authorities have also reported a rise in severe acute respiratory infection, or SARI, and influenza cases, with 4,536 cases logged this year and 154 in the past week alone. State Health Minister Dinesh Gundu Rao announced the expansion of Griha Arogya Yojana, a home health scheme to improve early screening for non-communicable diseases across Karnataka. The Karnataka High Court had some very tough words for Kamal Haasan today, including a great metaphor. "You cannot unscramble scrambled eggs." The court was reacting to Haasan's recent remark that Kannada was born out of Tamil, a comment that has sparked a widespread outrage in Karnataka. The judges told the 70-year-old actor and soon-to-be Rajya Sabha MP, "You're not just anyone, you're a public figure, your words carry influence." Haasan, who is expected to be nominated in the Rajya Sabha with support from Tamil Nadu's ruling DMK, is currently promoting his new film Thug Life, which is due for release this week. It was the promotion of this film where Kamal Haasan made the remarks, which have landed him in a legal soup. The court didn't mince words today. Quote, "You have the right to speak, yes, but not the right to hurt public sentiment," the judge said. The bench also made it clear that if the comment was a mistake, Haasan could simply fix the situation with a single statement. "Withdraw the remark, just say, this is what I meant. If I hurt anyone, I'm sorry. That's all. You yourself can undo the damage," the judge said, adding that language is deeply tied to people's identity and should be treated with care. The court also raised concerns about potential disruption to the film's release in Karnataka. Quote, crores can be earned from the state, but if you don't value its people, then walk away from the revenue. Hassan's team has asked for protection around the release of Thug Life, which has been facing ban threats in Karnataka, but the court pushed back, saying it was seeking legal cover for a controversy he had caused himself. You've created the situation, the court said, and now want protection from the fallout. The judge also recalled past controversies like those involving films such as Kala and Padmavati and pointed that even superstar Rajinikanth had withdrawn a statement when it upset people. We won't let anyone take public sentiment lightly. If you've made a mistake, you should know how to make it right, the court said. The matter has been posted for 2:30 p.m. with the court urging Kamal Hassan to reflect and return with a decision. If you want to stand by your comment, we are ready to pass orders, the judge warned. The government will likely not give in to the opposition's demand for a special session of parliament to discuss Operation Sindoor. The military strike that targeted terror infrastructure across the border following deadly Pahalgam attack. According to government sources, since the monsoon session of parliament is scheduled for July, there is no valid reason to call a special session at this time. They added it is unlikely to issue the Operation Sindoor will be discussed even during the upcoming monsoon session. The government maintains that the opposition has already been fully briefed on all details, including an on all-party meeting on the operation. Operation Sindoor saw Indian forces strike at least 9 terror camps in Pakistan and Pakistan-occupied Kashmir on 7th of May in response to the terror attack in Pahalgam on April 22nd, which claimed the lives of 26 civilians in Jammu and Kashmir. The operation led to increased tensions between India and Pakistan, with Pakistan responding with missile and drone strikes, as well as cross-border firing. However, the Indian military neutralized all threats. Opposition parties, including the Congress, have been pushing for a special session of the parliament to debate the government's military as well as foreign policy following the sudden escalation. After the ceasefire was announced on 10th of May, Congress leaders Rahul Gandhi and Mallikarjun Kharge wrote to Prime Minister Narendra Modi requesting a special session to discuss both Operation Sindoor as well as the ceasefire. The ruling BJP, meanwhile, insisted that military operation was on hold and called political opponents to not raise what it called unnecessary and unwanted questions. Government sources have also revealed that there is no consensus within the opposition over the demand for special session. The Congress has maintained its demand, especially after the Chief of Defence Staff General Anil Chauhan confirmed the loss of Indian jets during the hostilities. General Chauhan, in an interview with Bloomberg, had said what is important is not that the jet was downed, but that they were being downed. Referencing this, Mr. Kharge stressed the need to raise very important questions that could be addressed only if a special session was convened promptly. The Congress has also pointed out that the government can call a special session to mark 50 years since the emergency, but the government sources reveal they have dismissed any such plans. Russia has agreed to return the frozen bodies of 6,000 fallen Ukrainian soldiers, marking the largest handover of war dead since the invasion began. The announcement came on Monday after a second round of direct talks between Russian and Ukrainian negotiators in Istanbul. While there was no progress towards a ceasefire, both sides agreed on key humanitarian measures, including the significant, as well as another prisoner exchange. Vladimir Medinsky, head of Russian delegation, said, and I'm quoting, "This is a unilateral gesture. We will transfer the bodies next week. DNA tests were conducted to identify those we could not. Now we are ready to return them so they can be buried in a humane way." Medinsky added that Moscow was willing to receive Russian soldiers' remains if any are being held in Ukraine. The talks took place just one day after Ukraine confirmed what it called the biggest strike inside Russian territory since the war began. The drone attack on June 2nd targeted military sites in Russia's southern Rostov and Krasnodar regions. While Ukrainian officials did not reveal details, they said the strike was a message that war is not confined to Ukrainian soil. Despite the escalation, the two delegations met for just over an hour in Istanbul and agreed to exchange at least 1,000 prisoners from each side. The deal includes severely injured or ill soldiers and those under the age of 25. Medinsky said, and I'm quoting, "All gravely wounded and young soldiers will be exchanged. It's all for, that's the principle." Both countries will now set up standing medical commissions to regularly assess and document soldiers eligible for exchange, avoiding delays tied to political talks. Ukrainian officials will also raised long-standing accusations about children allegedly taken from occupied regions into Russia. Medinsky rejected the claims, saying that we received a list with 339 names. These children were evacuated from combat zones. They were not abducted. We are actively working to reunite them with their families. While no agreement was reached on halting the fighting, both sides have described the humanitarian arrangement as a step forward. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.